Good morning, church. I think it's warmer outside. Let's go outside and have church. Sorry about that, but sometimes the heater doesn't want to click on for some reason. But we just want to welcome those of you that are visiting us this morning to Point Loma. And thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. And the worship continues as we open God's Word. We've been going through the gospel systematically, and we're in the book of John right now. And in the book of John, we find that John takes the life of Jesus, at least his ministry here on this earth, and he really condenses it down. I kind of like it because in doing that, he really packs a lot into just a few sentences or even a few paragraphs. And particularly this passage of Scripture this morning that we read in John chapter 5, verses 18 through 24, we find a tremendous message right from the mouth of Jesus, in fact, here in John, the fifth chapter. Jesus is setting a sort of a pattern, you might say, here when he says, if you hear and you believe, then what? You have life eternal, isn't that right? If you hear it and you believe, and you'll hear that over and over again. Jesus repeats that in different ways, but it always is the same message. It's the hearing and the believing. And then, of course, eternal life is following that. Patterns, you know, when you think about patterns in your life, what are some of the things that pop into your mind? When I use the word pattern, what does that mean? Those of you that are the ladies in the congregation might remember, some of you. You might have had mother or grandfather or grandmother who made dresses or shirts. And they had these little envelopes. I remember my mom had them all on file cabinet. And in these envelopes were these patterns for dresses and shirts. And they were made out of sort of like a rice paper, really, really light paper. And she would go down to the store and she would buy a piece of cloth and she would lay it out on the table. And then she would start pinning this pattern onto that piece of cloth. I had two sisters, and of course my mom and my two sisters there was always something in the process of being made, a dress, a shirt, something like that. And so the kitchen or the dining room table was often used for the flat surface that they had to have to do this. So sometimes we would eat lunch, and at the end of the table, of course, was this piece of cloth with a pattern on it. So I remember very clearly that dressmaking was a time-consuming process. And you had to be very careful, and you made sure you cut everything out just right, and you sewed on the right pattern, right lines and everything. And so patterns are something that maybe we're familiar with. There are maybe other aspects in your life that you could look at and say, well, there's a pattern. Some of you that are going to be watching the Super Bowl tomorrow will know that the quarterback and the receiver, they have a pre-determined pattern, and they... Often you'll see the quarterback nowadays, he wears a little white elastic stretchy thing on his arm here, and he's got, I don't know what he's got on there, I've never seen one close enough, but I'm sure he's got memorized or at least written down some numbers that are codes that will tell somebody a certain pattern to play or whatever. And so tomorrow you'll see receivers following a set pattern, going out, turning left, going right, or whatever. You'll see that over and over and over again. It's by doing that over and over again that they have this pattern ingrained in their minds, and their body knows exactly what to do. The quarterback knows exactly how hard to throw the ball, and so on and so on. Other patterns. Last Sunday, I got together with one of my friends who's helping me work on my car. And I've been working on this project, well, off and on for several years, actually. I wish it was over with. Hopefully it will be soon. But putting on some metal flares onto a car, a quarter panel of a car, and you have to make a pattern. You can make it out of cardboard, or you can take the new flare, the metal flare, and you can use that as the pattern. And you can hold it on the side of the old fender, and you can put holes in it and put bolts in it and hold it there, and then you can scribe it, and then you can cut it out. And so we spent a good portion of Sunday just doing that. And then, of course, he had to sit there and he had to weld these two pieces of metal together. But we had to use a pattern. We had to follow a pattern. If we didn't follow the pattern, well, it would be a pretty expensive mistake. And so we had to follow a very special process, a very special pattern to make sure everything lined up well. Well, there's a lot of things, like I said, that we could use that would be examples of patterns. How about in your life? Is there a pattern in your life? Do you have a pattern? You're saying, well, okay, think about it. How about the pattern of, the kind of food you like? Certain types of food you like? Where did you acquire that? From being raised in a home where your mother cooked certain types of food? Our grandmother cooked certain types of food? How about patterns of behavior? Oh, now we're getting in the sensitive spot, right? Patterns of behavior. By the way, many of us are almost oblivious to the patterns of behavior in our lives. These patterns often are set for us, or we observe them and we follow, or we copy our parents or people around us. And those patterns just become part of our everyday life. Our behavior, the way we interact with the other people, the things that we say, those are patterns. Voice patterns also are passed on. If you were alive today and you were to call him and answer the phone, his voice pattern is the same as mine, my brother's, and my two sons. It's very interesting. My mom can't tell them apart. They're very, very. We answer the phone the same way. We talk the same way. It's interesting how patterns can be transferred from generation to generation. So in our behavior, in our voice patterns, in how we interact with other people, those are patterns that are set. And often, trying to change a pattern isn't easy. It's not easy to change an old pattern. You ever tried to do it? Huh? What we're really talking about here also is habits. Patterns can become habits, where we do them without even thinking. We perform tasks without even having to think. Kind of like driving. Some people don't even think when they're driving. They think they can do other things while they're driving. And then they end up in the ditch, like on the way here this morning. Somebody had hit the wall and bounced off, you know, and didn't look very good. Because he was probably doing something that he thought, oh, well, I'm driving, no big deal, I can do something else, and then you got trouble. Not easy to change patterns. Well, Jesus found that out for sure. Chapter 5. In fact, Jesus had just performed a miracle at the pool called Bethsaida. Bethsaida. And there at the pool, there were many people there for many different reasons. Most of them had physical ailments. They were there because there was a tradition that said that if you were the first person into the water, you would be healed. I'll bet that was a mad scramble. Every time the water would move a little, they believed that an angel moved the water with its hand. And whenever that happened, if the water were to ripple or whatever, if you were the first person in the pool, you would be healed. You wonder how many people came there day after day after day, week after week, year after year, hoping that they would be the first one in the pool. Unfortunately, this man had been, he had been doing this for quite some time. He had been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus saw him laying there by the pool, hoping that somehow he would be the first one in. Now, you know, when you're really sick and you're an invalid, your chances of making it into the pool first are probably pretty slim, don't you think? So year after year, this poor man sat by the pool hoping that just maybe somehow, by chance or something, he would get into the pool first and then he would be healed. And so Jesus saw him there and his heart went out to this young man and he said, "Do you want to get well?" Kind of one of those questions that you say, well, duh. You know, why am I here? I'm here because I want to be healed. Isn't that obvious? And he replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your bed and walk." Now, all that's great. This is wonderful. This is the poor guy that has been there year after year, hoping and hoping and hoping that somehow he's going to be healed. And suddenly a man comes along and says, listen, do you want to be healed? Yes, I do. He's healed instantly. He's told to pick up his bed and walk. All that is a wonderful story. It's a hallelujah, do a little dance type story. But guess what? Jesus was doing it on Sabbath. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Bummer. He was breaking the Sabbath. He was breaking the law. It was not right. You were not to bring healing. You were not to work on Sabbath. And Jesus was working on Sabbath. Not only was He working on Sabbath, He was causing others to work on Sabbath. So, double shame on Him. And you can be sure it didn't go unnoticed by the religious leaders of that day. In fact, this man, Jesus saw later at the temple. But the others saw, the religious leaders saw what Jesus was doing. And they said to Him, it is the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat. But the man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Verse 12. So they asked Him, who is this fella? I like that, huh? You know, you think they show just a little bit of respect for someone that had performed such an incredible miracle. Who's this fella? Who's this guy that told you to do this? And it said, well, he didn't even know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away. Later, Jesus found him, it says here in verse 14, at the temple and said to him, oh, I see you're well. And then he said, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And then verse 16, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews began to persecute Him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always in His work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill Him. Now, do you get the seriousness of the situation here? Jesus is about doing His Father's will, His Father's work, and the religious leaders are unhappy with Him. You see, they're the ones that walk around with a little checklist. They're the ones that are always making sure that everyone else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're always looking to make sure that the other person is meeting their standard of religiosity, meeting their standard of perfection, meeting their standard of what they believe the Bible says, making sure that they follow all the teachings exactly right according to their standard. And along comes Jesus, who is this fella, and He is telling people that He heals to get up and walk and carry a burden on the Sabbath, which is in direct contradiction to the rules and regulations of that religion. And then I like it says, verse 16, and so because He was doing these things on the Sabbath, there's the emphasis again, the Jews persecuted Him. And then later on it says, verse 18, for this reason they also tried all the harder to kill Him. Now I want to underline that. I've gone over it twice now. And the reason is because I want to make sure that we understand that once a person gets a pattern in their head, once they believe they have the right pattern, they're willing to not only persecute people because they're violating their thinking, their patterns, they're willing to kill. Do you get it? This is a serious thing. Jesus is violating a pattern, a set pattern that had gone on for who knows how long. And because He was violating it, they were willing to kill Him for it. I guess you might say this is a good example of religion gone sour, religion gone bad, really bad. And Jesus is here to try to break that pattern. He's trying to show them that the pattern that they have been following is not the true pattern, that He Himself, in fact, is the one who is setting the new pattern. He is the one, in fact, that is following the heavenly pattern, the one that he calls his Father's will. And so, Jesus, because he follows his Father's will, because he's willing to go against the norms of society, to go against those things that were so well established, those patterns that were so well established, Jesus is persecuted. And he says they begin to actually seek to kill him. I like the response that Jesus gives them. If you read on in the chapter 5, and it says, Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing except what? Except he does his Father's will." I like that. There is nothing. There's nothing he can do by himself. He can do only what he sees. I like this. What he sees his Father doing. You see, there's a pattern there. And that pattern is his Father. That pattern that he sees, that he's following, is his Father's will. I think really this, you might call this the pattern for all Christians. Jesus is setting down a pattern. And that pattern is that all Christians need to be locked into the will of the Heavenly Father. In seeking the Father's will, we take our eyes off of earthly things. We stop worrying about whether someone else is keeping your pattern or is meeting your expectations or is following the pattern. We begin to look at our lives and realize that the only true pattern to follow is the Father's will. To connect with the Father's will, just as Jesus connected with the Father's will. And so, I like this because, you know, I grew up in the time period when I think it was Flip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." What Jesus is saying here is, God made me do it. My Father made me do it. Why did you heal on Sabbath? Because my Father made me do it. Why did you tell this man to pick up his bed and walk and work on Sabbath? My Father made me do it. I'll tell you something, folks. If you begin to set that pattern in your life, if you begin to listen to the Word and the leading of the Father, if you begin to lock into the will of your Heavenly Father, you will, I guarantee you, you will come up against those who do not like you because you're following the will of the Father. There will be those who will try to force you to follow patterns that they have set for you or for themselves. They will force you to try to follow the patterns that they have defined, the boundaries that they have defined. And I guarantee you that when you follow the will of your Heavenly Father, you'll be in conflict with them. You will be judged. You will be persecuted. You might even be cast out or away from those who you are the closest to, because you are not following their patterns, you're following the pattern of the Heavenly Father. God made me do it. And I know that as we've studied here through the book of John, the topic or the concept of Jesus following the Father's will comes up over and over and over again. I just put down a couple times here in chapter 4, verse 34. We read last week, remember. He said, "My food, the food that I eat," as he was talking to the Samaritan woman, a woman there at the well. He says, "The food that I eat is to do the will of him who what? Who sent me. And to finish his work." Also, if you look at chapter 5, verse 30, chapter 8, verse 28, chapter 12, verse 50, chapter 15, verse 10, and it goes on and on throughout the book of John, you will discover over and over and over again, John brings up this idea, this concept. He quotes Jesus over and over again. Jesus is following the will of his Father. To me, that's a theme. To me, that's a pattern in the life of Jesus. The pattern in Jesus' life is to follow the will of his Father. There's a lot of talk about being like Jesus. And that's interesting because Jesus, in introducing the kingdom of heaven to those he came in contact with, always referred to his Father's will. He always pointed people to his Father and his Father's will. And so it might come as a surprise, or it might come as a point of conflict in our lives when we do follow the will of the Father, that others, as I said before, will not agree and will be very, very unhappy with us. One author says it this way: the unveiling of this divine relationship is tied to the will and the plan of God. What God wants done, the Son will do it. In fact, the Son is given the identical powers of God to perform even more amazing works. And so, as we look at chapter 5, we see Jesus talking to these religious leaders, and he's laying out for them the pattern that he follows. He points out the fact that, once again, I follow the Father's will. Verse 20 says, For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Well, you know, you'd think when Jesus had a good thing going, he would back off. The idea here that not only is he saying, I follow the will of my Father, but all the things that my Father does, raising the dead, healing, all of those things he's given to me. And I will, and also he is pleased to give those to me. Moreover, it says in verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And then here comes the words. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You see, there is the very simple pattern. He who hears and believes has eternal life. Oh, but Pastor, what about this and what about that? What about all these other things over here, these list of things that we need to do? What about all this? It's not there, is it? Hear, believe, and you're saved. Hear, believe, and you're saved. It's a theme that you see over and over again in the book of John and also in the Gospels. I tell you the truth. He who hears and believes has crossed over into from death to life eternal. And so salvation will be based upon belief in the words of the one who was sent by God. His words were of God, and his actions were the work of God. Hearing his words and believing his works as commissioned by the Father brought eternal life to some, to all. So salvation is based on hearing. Salvation is based on believing. By the way, the word belief, what does that word mean to you? Believe? Does it just mean, oh yeah, okay, I know. I get it. I think it's much deeper than that. Belief goes right down into its roots go right down into the very soul. And when you believe something, you're willing to give up the old, aren't you? And to follow the new. And Jesus is challenging his listeners here in this passage of Scripture. The old isn't working, folks. The old isn't work. I have come to establish a new pattern for you. And that pattern is based on me. I am the one that brings salvation. I am the one who will judge. I am the one. Jesus is laying down a new pattern. The question is, will they receive that pattern? Can they break the old pattern and receive the new pattern? Big question. How about you this morning? What sort of pattern are you stuck in? What is it that drives you to follow your Lord Jesus Christ? What brings you here on Sabbath morning? What causes you to testify to someone, let's say at work or on the street corner or maybe your neighbor, testify to the changing power of God in your life? What is it that drives you? Is it your love for the Father? Is it your desire to follow His will and to finish His work, as Jesus said? The truth of the Almighty is that the Son is the measure of His judgment. The Son is the one who has the words that lead to eternal life. The Son is the one sent by God to establish the manner in which the Almighty will judge the world. The Son is the very bridge upon which humanity must cross to go from death to life. Did you get it? I'll read it again. The truth of the Almighty is that the Son is the measure of His judgment. The Son is the one who has the words that lead to eternal life. The Son is the one who is sent by God to establish the manner in which the Almighty will judge the world. The Son is the very bridge upon which humanity must cross to go from death to life. It's the bridge. And so, in reality, we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the work of the church is the work of the Father, the work of the disciple, the work of the follower of Jesus Christ is the work of the Father. When you think about that, it puts a whole new spin on how we live our lives. Every day is the day where we are about the Father's will. Every day is the day where God is the center of our life. And everything that emanates from that is the Father's will. It's hard for us to comprehend that. I know it's hard because the patterns in our lives are so deeply ingrained in us. They are so all-consuming that for us to even think about the fact that we need to look at another pattern or another example just kind of messes with our psyche. Come on, leave me alone, Pastor. Well, it's not me, it's the Word of God. It's Jesus. Jesus wouldn't leave them alone. He would not leave them alone because the pattern they were following was a pattern that would lead to loss, to death. But the pattern He wanted to show them was a pattern of eternal life. And it's based in the will of the Father. The will of the Father. Everything we do every day, every moment of every day, must be the will of the Father. But we are raised and we are taught to be self-sufficient. We are raised and we are taught to be independent. We are raised, we are taught to trust in our own thoughts, in our own ideas, in our own dreams, and it all revolves around us, the big I. But that's not what Jesus said, was it? Jesus didn't say that. He said, I don't do anything. I do absolutely nothing here in this world unless it's the will of the Father. Young people, as you're growing up and you're learning patterns in your life, you already have some established. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Ask yourself the question, is the life I'm living following the pattern that Jesus followed? I'll guarantee you, if you follow the pattern that Jesus followed, which is the will of the Father, your life will be one that will go on through eternity. On the other hand, there are so many patterns in this world that you can follow and you can run after and you can cut your life out in certain ways that everybody will approve and say, oh, you're so successful, you're so wonderful, you're just an amazing person. But is that the will of the Father or not? You have to pattern your life after the will of the Father. It's a hard one to swallow. I mean, Jesus obviously made some people very angry and very mad by following the will of his Father. And as we follow the will of the Father, that we are placed under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's through faith in Christ Jesus we are uniquely joined with God in his work. I like that. Do you? It's through Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that we are uniquely joined in God's work. I see so many people running around saying, "I'm doing God's work. I'm doing God's work." And you watch it for a while and you listen for a while and you begin to realize that it's just a lot of smoke. It's a lot of mirrors and smoke. It's pretty easy to identify. It's pretty easy to identify when somebody is doing the will of the Father versus somebody who's doing their own will and is simply self-deceived. We are commissioned to do the will of the Father. This is the pattern Jesus established. Followers of Jesus are motivated by the compassion of God. He is the source of their activity in this world. God's agenda is their agenda. You know, Jesus, in his life, always desired to follow his God's will. And in the process, he was persecuted. His character was made fun of. His life was made fun of. He was shamed, disrespected, and finally killed. But that was the will of his Father. And ultimately, he came forth from the grave victorious over death. And because he is our Lord, he is our victorious risen Lord, we have nothing to fear. We have, certainly, there's pain and suffering in this world. There are times when you may feel all alone, where you may feel that you are being abused, where you feel that you are being disrespected. But remember that when you're in the will of the Father, these things will happen, but ultimately, to hear and to believe is to have life eternal. To follow the pattern that Jesus set, and that pattern was to do the will of the Father. Through our faith in Christ Jesus, our destinies are determined. There is no longer any question. Everything has been settled. Death is left, and life has arrived. It is Christ Jesus who has the power to give us life. My prayer for us as a church and as individuals is that we will continue to allow the Holy Spirit to reign in this family. We will continue to hear the words of the Father, and we will follow, because that is truly the only way to eternal life. May God bless us as we continue to worship.